is my beginning. The line drawn in the sand. The end of all my striving. Now I am born again. That Jesus was forsaken. So I will never be. His grace is my salvation, the gift of God, the work of Calvary. It is done, it is finished. Christ has won, he is risen. Christ is here, love is triumphant. His mercy is complete. His love is not in question. The Son of God has spoken over me. It is done. It is finished. Christ has won.
And I've got good news for you. You've got to keep watching this space, all right? What's coming? It's the Influence of the Spirit podcast. You heard it right. The Influence of the Spirit podcast. We will be coming at you week after week with solid nuggets, solid points on how to increase your intimacy with the Holy Ghost, growing in revelation of who you are in Christ, just walking in that enhanced life, that spirit walk life. It's going to be exciting. So please follow me on all social media handles, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. This will be amazing. It will be wonderful to grow together with you, grow in the things of the spirit and in our walk, you know, and continuous exercise in the Holy Ghost. So looking forward to having you follow all the conversations we'll be having. It will be amazing. Hi, my name is Larry Rexonosian. Welcome to my YouTube channel. Here we will be having a solid time with God's Word. We will learn who we are in Christ. Listen, there's so much God has put within us that makes the new creation, that's the born again person, the most treasured possession on this earth. Wow, yes, and that's it really. So much to uncover. Bible says that God has put so much treasure in us. We have treasure in this earthen vessel. Imagine us week after week, episode after episode, digging in by revelation, by the help of the Holy Ghost, into all those amazing truths on who we are, what God is to us, what Christ has done for us. Imagine how much we would be, you know, edified and transformed. So please subscribe to this channel and then just turn on notifications so that once anything drops, you will be the first to know. It will be awesome being in this community with you. Looking forward to great times together. God bless you. Hello and welcome to our weekly hangout, The Influence of the Spirit. It's always just so good to be here. I look forward to it every week because I know you'll be there and we're going to have a great time. I mean, it's been exciting every week.
The month of June, we talked about the Spirit-filled believer. And I think you really got a whole lot of stuff from it, right? Last Sunday was good. We ended, you know, with prophecy, how that every believer can prophesy, every believer should prophesy. And talk about the simple steps, all right, the simple ways you could just flow into prophecy. And I would love to believe you've been taking, all right, those steps. Basic step is faith, all right? You get a word, all right, something rising up within you, like, I think I have a word. Go ahead, give it, all right? You never get to improve on it if you don't take a first step of faith. It's like driving, right? No matter how much someone sits you down and tells you this is the clutch, all right? That if it's, you know, stick or what we call manual, right? This is the clutch and this is the brake and do like this or do like that. If you never get out the road with the car, you would never understand what driving is. So same with prophecy and same with most of what we teach. It's not the theory, all right? We teach it, but it needs to be put to work. It is knowledge that is acted upon that brings results, all right? So it's important. So now that you and I know, I mean, what did Joel say? Joel 2 says, in the last days I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. So prophecies for everyone, and men could prophesy, women could prophesy, because there's no male or female in Christ Jesus. So I'm excited you're here, all right? Because this month we are, I don't know, I could call it a detour, but we're switching into something that is important. We will now build better, all right, on prophecy and the rest of the things we want to talk about. Now, what's that? So this month of July, we're discussing the work of the Holy Ghost in the believer. The work of the Holy Spirit in the believer. That is super awesome. Yes, it is. And we're going to have a great time. All right. So in John chapter 14, from the 16th verse of John 14, Jesus said, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This, guys, is the foundation for everything, right? You and I are going to be dealing with the foundation for everything you and I are going to be talking about. The work of the Holy Ghost in the believer. So first off, all right, we must be clear about the fact that the place of abode, all right, the dwelling place, the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost is inside the believer, individual believer, and of course inside the, you know, group of believers, what we call a corporate gathering, then of course inside, all right, the entire body of Christ. And yes, definitely is everywhere all over the world. But while we know that the Holy Spirit is everywhere, alright, one thing Jesus achieved in his death, burial, and resurrection is that now the Holy Ghost can come into man. Now man can become God's dwelling place. This has been God's idea from the very beginning, and this is the plan, alright, the Holy Ghost moving in you. So I'll take that 17th verse again. Even the Spirit of truth, alright, this is the comforter. His name is also the Spirit of truth. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. Please look at the last part. He said, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. So the Holy Ghost is already everywhere. That's it. It was everywhere. And the fact that the Holy Ghost was active in the ministry of Jesus, right? The Holy Ghost was in Jesus and active in the ministry of Jesus. He was already with them, right? He was with them. But Jesus said, he is with you and he will be in you. That is a new covenant. That is a new testament. That is new creation. He will be in you. Alright. Verse 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So how was he going to come? Which way would he come? I will not leave you like an orphan. I want to read the amplified version of this same John 14 and then the 16th verse of John chapter 14. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Alright, so Amplified breaks it down. It says comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, and standby. Alright, to be with you forever. So the Holy Ghost is not one who stays with you temporarily. He's not one who is with you while you're in the good books and then he runs away from you when things go bad. No, Jesus said he will be with you forever. The 17th verse, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or take to his heart, because it does not see him nor know him, but you know him because he, watch this now, you know him because he, the Holy Ghost, remains with you continually and will be in you. Now I want you to see the 18th verse. I will not leave you as orphans. comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you. So when was he going to come back? Now, yes, he came back physically after his resurrection. But even when he came back after his resurrection, in Luke 24, he told them, tarry in Jerusalem till you endure the power from on high. In Acts 1, he said to them, you receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. So even after he was with them physically, he was only with them for 40 days. He left. And then he said, someone is still coming. He had told them this. He said, wait for the promise of the Father. And then we know that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost showed up. The one thing you and I have got to understand is the Holy Spirit in you is the presence of Jesus in you. Alright, the Holy Spirit in you is the presence of the Father in you. Jesus said, I will come back to you. Alright, he was talking to them and he said, my Father and I will come and make our home in you. How? God is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. So how are they going to be in us? By the person and by the presence of the Holy Spirit. So where is his location? As far as you're concerned, in you. In you. In you. John 16, alright, I want to get over, you know, to the next thing that I want us to see, but very importantly, John 16. Just in verse 13, Jesus said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Alright? He will not speak of himself. Whatever he hears, will he speak. And the Spirit of truth will show you things come. I want you to get this. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. So I want you to connect with me the 14th verse. Okay, I mean the 14th chapter with the 16th chapter. In chapter 14, verse 17, Jesus ends by saying, he is with you, and then he will be in you. He is with you, he will be in you. Then chapter 16, 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth is come, come where? In you. You need to get how I'm connecting it. 14 says in verse 17, alright, he is with you, he will be in you. He's coming into you. Alright, he's already with you. The Holy Ghost is everywhere all over the world, alright? But the moment somebody gets born again, he moves into that person. So, when Jesus in 16 now says, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. That means the moment you receive the Holy Ghost, he moved into you. That's when you got born again. The Holy Ghost moved into you. That means your guide is where now? Yes, in you. In you. Oh, this is so beautiful. Alright? Because the more you and I, you know, fix our gaze, fix our thoughts, and fix our thinking on this, it will bless us. 1 Corinthians 13, the 16th verse of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul is saying, do you not know and understand that you, the church at, you know, Corinth, alright, he's talking to them at Corinth, that you, the church, are the temple, alright, of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells, watch this, permanently in you. I'll take that again. Do you not know, alright, and understand that you, the church, talking to the church at Corinth, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells permanently in you, collectively and individually? That means the Holy Ghost is resident in me. The Holy Ghost is resident in me. The Holy Ghost is resident in me. I'm saying this because if our topic is the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer, I don't want you to have this picture of he comes for a while and then he goes off for a while, then he comes for a while. Jesus said he will abide with you forever. And he's not just abiding with you, he's abiding inside you. So we find Paul saying here, I'm using the Amplified to get this out. All right, once again, do you not know and understand that you, the church, all right, at Corinth, the church, all right, he's talking to them, but talking to all of us, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells permanently, permanently in you collectively and individually. That means I am the house of God. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost, permanently. Permanently, he lives in me. He lives in me. He lives in me. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. This is exciting. This is exciting. So, now that you and I know that the Holy Ghost lives in us, now that we know he lives in us forever, he is with us forever, we've got to study, alright? We've got to come to appreciate the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer. Now that he's in me, what's he doing in me? Right? What's he doing in me? You know, John is saying here in 1 John, alright, chapter 2 and the 20th verse of 1 John, he said, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So, an unction from the Holy One, the unction there, the anointing, alright, from the Holy One, and you know all things. Alright, so that the anointing is the person, or the presence, or the personality rather, of the Holy Spirit. Where you find the Holy Ghost, the anointing is present. Where you find the anointing, the Holy Ghost is present. So the anointing is the personality of the Spirit. The anointing, when the Holy Ghost shows up, you just, because the word anointing is from the, you know, phrase to rub off, alright, or to smear upon. That's why when you put your cream, all over yourself, what you're doing is you're smearing it on you, so that's like to anoint. So in the Old Testament, you find them pouring oil, right? They don't drip the oil on you. They pour the oil on you. So you find Psalm 133 describing it, saying it's like the precious oil poured upon Aaron that runs down his beards into his skirts. All right, you find that in Psalm 133 where it says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity." So it describes, the process. It's poured on. Alright, now while we don't, give too much attention to the physical oil, because the oil is just a type, alright, a representation of the Spirit, so our focus in the New Testament is the Spirit. So the day you got born again, you were immersed into the Holy Ghost, right, and the Holy Ghost came into you, alright, you were baptized, you were brought into the things of the Spirit, you were brought into a whole new kingdom. So Bible is now saying that you have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. So look at the 27th verse. The 27th verse now says, "But the anointing which you have received abides in you." I want you to notice verse 20 says, "You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things." So I have an unction from the Holy One. I know all things. You have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. 27 says, "But the anointing which you have received," that unction that you have received, where's the location? It says, "The anointing which you have received abides in you." It abides in you. To abide means to live. To abide, old English says to dwell. To abide, it tabernacles. It's on your inside. The anointing, that means there's an anointing. Oh, hallelujah. As you're watching me right now, there's an anointing in you. It abides in you. It abides in you. It abides. Every believer is anointed. And that anointing abides in you. So what is the work of the Spirit in the life of a believer? We see that He is in us as the resident anointing on our inside. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is in me as a resident anointing. Resident. What does the anointing do? You go to Isaiah chapter 10 and the 27th verse of Isaiah chapter 10. It says, "In that day, his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing." So there's an anointing in me to destroy yokes. There's an anointing in me to destroy yokes, to remove burdens. It's in me. And that, like I said, it's because of the presence of the Holy Ghost. You remember, all right, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me." So you find that where the Spirit is, the anointing is there. Alright, and where the anointing is because the Spirit is there. Alright, if you see in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when the oil was poured upon David by Samuel, Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Alright, you see in 1 Samuel chapter 10, when oil was poured upon King Saul, you find the Spirit of God coming upon King Saul. So where you find the anointing is because the Spirit of God is at work. When you find the Spirit of God, the anointing is working. Oh, hallelujah. So there's a resident anointing within you. You are not without the anointing. Now, there will be anointings, as it were, to function in special ministry gifts, to function in special ministry offices, to function in certain assignments. We get to define the anointing as the unction to function. So when God calls you on an assignment, He anoints you. Alright, not because the Holy Ghost is twins or triplets. Oh, am I getting a different Holy Ghost? No. It means that the Holy Ghost unlocks, as it were, another department of Himself and furnishes you with grace, furnishes you with ability, furnishes you with capacity to get that job done. So, for instance, now the Holy Ghost has called someone. Jesus calls someone, alright, gives someone to be in the office of a teacher, alright. Jesus gives gifts to men. So Jesus now calls you to be in the office of a teacher or office of a pastor, office of an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist. You are anointed for that office. Alright? Someone who is called to teach is anointed to teach. Somebody who is called to pastor is anointed to pastor. Alright? Someone who is called to be an evangelist, he just wants to be on the field. He just, lost. I mean, every believer should win souls, but he is a lot more outward. He is into field ministry. He's into crusade. He's into mass evangelism. Not just one-on-one, two-by-two, or preaching to a family. And that's what he does. And he just wants to jump from one field to the next field. When you find someone who's anointed to be a pastor, who goes on the field ministry, he could get weary easily. He wants to get back home. All right. He's feeling, oh, now that we've won those souls and we need to sit down with them. We need to grow them. They have to grow. That's his pastoral side coming up. All right. The evangelist might think like that, but he's not anointed for it. So he's done winning this batch of people. He's done with this village or with this town or with this city. He wants to go to the next place. He's telling the pastors, you cater for them. I need to move to the next place. I need to go win more souls for the Lord. More, because that's what's pumping in him. That's the anointing at work. All right. So while we might now have these anointings for different ministry gifts, every believer is anointed. Every believer. So we're going to get this. All right. Every one of us is anointed. Let me quickly show us what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. All right. And the first chapter here. So we pick it quickly from the 20th verse. He says, for all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. 21. Now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Please get that. Now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us, not will anoint us. All right. The word Christ actually means the anointed one. All right. The word Christ in Greek is the word Messiah. Christos in Greek, Messiah. So we're used to the word Messiah, but Messiah basically is Hebrew. All right. So when you flip it over, all right, you get Christos, which is Christ, but it's still not broken down. It just basically means the anointed one. So if any man be in Christ, you know where that goes? It means if any man be in the anointed one. So in the anointed one, you are in Christ, in the anointed one. All right. And then Christ is where? In you. So the anointing is where? In you. Hallelujah. And that 1 John 2:27 we looked at said the anointing which you have received abides in you. The anointing abides. He ends by saying the anointing which you have received abides within you, and you need not that any man will teach you, but the anointing teaches you all things. Now that means there's an anointing with you from God that will guide your life. It means, listen, the work of the Spirit in the life of a believer, you could tie what I just said right now, what we just read, all right, quickly now to, you know, 1 John. Let me just read that 27th verse so you get it again. But the anointing which you have received abides where? Within you, all right? And you need not that any man, all right, teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. We can tie this to John 16:13 that we looked at earlier. That when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. When he's come where? Come in you. Come where? In you. Come where? In you. So my guide, please get what I'm about to say. The primary guide of a believer is within that believer. So we're looking at the work of the Holy Ghost in the life of a Christian. The primary guide of the believer is within that believer. The secondary guide is outside of you. All right. Maybe there's a confirmation that comes through prophecy and all of that, you know, but the primary guide, God is not doing away with the secondary, but the primary guide, when he, John 16:13, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will show you things to come. Yes, that word is for you. The Holy Ghost guides you into all things. The Holy Ghost will speak to you. The Holy Ghost will show you things to come. You. And then 1 John 2:27 again, it needs to be read one more time, please. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. The anointing is resident in me. 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 The anointing is resident. Oh, hallelujah. Wow, wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When you learn to talk like that, you grow in your consciousness and you stir up, you know, you stir up even the physical tangibility of that anointing about you. You want to talk about that if you know, the anointing is in me. The anointing abides in me. Say that. The anointing abides. It abides. Hallelujah. The anointing that I've received of him abides in me. The anointing that I've received of him, it abides in me. The anointing is in me. The anointing is in me. The anointing is in me. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I'm anointed to know things. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. The Holy Ghost is at work in me, teaching me things. The Holy Ghost is teaching me things by his anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the language of the believer. This is the language because, you know, some of us unconsciously just know about the Holy Ghost from the pulpit. When the preacher is ministering, oh, the Holy Ghost is here. Oh, I can feel him right now. And then you go, oh my goodness, I wish I could feel him too. He's in you. He's in you. Jesus said he is with you, but then he will come in you. And he said that to the people with him. The day you got born again, you became the tabernacle. Oh, you became the tent, the house, the house. You became the temple of God. We've seen that in 1 Corinthians 3. You became the temple of God. You, yes, you, yes, you. Yes, you. And 1 Corinthians 6 and the 19th verse says, do you not know that you, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That means the Holy Ghost lives inside you. So he's working. He will work within you. Oh, he has work to do in you. Let me finish 1 John, all right, 2:27. But the anointing which you have received abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things. The same anointing. He will teach you all things. Listen, this could go to whatever length it can get to. If you ever read the book God's Generals before, it was said that during the Azusa Street revival, you know, under William J. Seymour. Alright, while there was a move of the Spirit going on, a young lady got up, alright, walked over to the piano. She's never learned how to play the keyboard. And she got and just started playing. Just started playing. This could go to whatever length. I mean, I heard one amazing one like how many years ago. Alright, some ladies went praying, and while they were praying, you just noticed that they were, you know, flinging their hands or flipping their hands as though they were swimming. Alright, and they never learned how to swim. Sometime they had an opportunity to get to the pool or something close to that, if I have the story correct, and they jumped in and they started swimming like they've always. I mean, they prayed it out. Some say, sir, how do those things happen? How do those things happen? I personally know one person. I mean, I were doing outreach, you know, many years ago back then at church. He doesn't speak Yoruba. He's not a Yoruba guy. Then he went into a house. You know, there was this 2x2 thing, so everybody comes back to share testimony. So he went to a house with a friend of his, and then the family they met there were Yoruba speaking people. This chap spoke Yoruba to them, as in spoke Yoruba and ministered to them. And when he wasn't, he couldn't. So I'm saying, how did that happen? That's the anointing. This could go to any extent. All right. I was reading John G. Lake, you know, and he talked about the fact that he was ministering, all right, back when he was at South Africa. And then he would just begin to say things, historical things. And then after a while, he would tell them, we need to be careful with these things we're recording. I don't know where they're coming from. Historical things. I'm saying historical things. All right. So he told his stenographer, you know, that anytime that happens to him, you know, when he knows he's switched into just talking historically, he'll know. He said, write it somewhere else. He said, one time he had a privilege, you know, he went to the U.S. So he just picked those notes. All right. Met someone who was at the Congress, and they said, oh, there's someone here that when anything he said, he knows which book, he knows where, he knows. Let's give it to him. They handed it over to the person. Person showed up the next day and was telling them which books all those things came out from. G. Lake never read those books. Please understand. This one says, how possible? Did you ever ask yourself which university Solomon went to get all the wisdom he got? What was the anointing? What's the wisdom of God? God gave him wisdom. Wisdom as numerous as the sand on the seashore. God gave him wisdom. God gave it to him. You find the same thing similar in Daniel chapter 1. Bible says God gave Daniel knowledge and skill in all the learnings of the Chaldeans. So Daniel knew beyond what they taught him in class. Way beyond. How do you know this thing? So when you understand that the Holy Ghost is in you, we cannot have the spirit of the only wise God in us and then we produce foolish results. We cannot have, you know, no, we should be When they talk excellence, all right, it should be us. Now, this might not be evident today, but we're learning. He's in me. He's a spirit of wisdom. He's a spirit of counsel. I've got to finish this 27th verse. All right, let me kick it off over again. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, all right, and his truth and no lie, even as it has taught you, you will abide, all right, in him. So the anointing teaches. The anointing teaches. The Spirit teaches. Oh, that means I don't need a teacher. No, God is not confused. All right. In Ephesians chapter 4, Bible said he gave gifts unto men. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So he gave teachers. He gave people to teach. I'm anointed to teach. I'm in the office of a teacher. amongst, you know, others have an apostolic assignment, but you can also have the office or stand in the office of a teacher. So, hey, so I'm teaching. So you don't say, I don't need. So he's not confused. He anoints people to teach. He anoints people to do those things. Yet again, he anoints you. So even when you hear a teaching that, you know, seems false or something that seems wrong, you know, the anointing within you kicks in and says, no. The anointing within you teaches you all things. Oh, glory to God. I'm anointed. The burden removing, yoke destroying power of God resides within me. The burden removing, yoke destroying power of God resides within me. I said that so you could say it also, right? The burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. I picked that from that Isaiah chapter 10, 27. It says, in that day, his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Alright, so that means the anointing removes burdens, the anointing destroys yokes. Do you understand that? So by the time we go to Luke chapter 4, Jesus says, Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Look at the things he said the anointing is supposed to do, because we find many believers say, I'm just broken. No, you're not broken, you're anointed. The anointed, focus on the anointing. The Holy Ghost is in you. He's in you. Oh, I just have the spirit of heaviness. Oh, I pray that God will give me the garment of praise against this spirit of heaviness. It is you being mindful of what you're going through. Listen, I'm not trying to say all this to sound so like insensitive, whatever it is you might be going through, but I'm saying we've got to put the word of God above everything. Bible says you are anointed. You are anointed. You are anointed. And that anointing removes burdens, destroys yokes. Are you getting this? You, child of God, are anointed. So that spirit of heaviness, alright, or whatever it is that you're feeling, you have to tell yourself, I'm anointed. So there's no heaviness where this anointing is in existence. You understand that? This anointing is in me. This anointing is on me. Alright, you see in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Bible says, Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was in him. That means there's an anointing to heal. Alright? So Jesus walked in what you could call a very tangible healing anointing. So I'm anointed. So if I'm anointed, then I can say, no sickness. Oh, come on. Christ is in me. The anointed one is in me. And the anointed one is in me with his anointing. Do you understand that? So in me is the anointed one and his anointing. In me, Christ is in me. Go ahead, say that. Christ is in me. The anointed one is in me. The anointing is in me. Christ is in me. Maybe you now put in better perspective now, Philippians 4 and the 13th verse. I can do all things through Christ. King James says, which strengthens me. Which. King James doesn't use the word who. Alright, it says which. So I can do all things through Christ. So it seems that Paul was talking more about the anointing. I can do all things through this anointing which gives me strength. Alright? So by the anointing was strengthened. We're talking about the work of the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer. The Holy Ghost didn't come into you empty handed. The Holy Ghost didn't come to you empty. He came to you full. He came to you with grace. He came to you with power. He came to you with his ability. So the anointing that is within you, the Holy Ghost in you teaches you. Alright? He teaches you all things. The Holy Ghost in you, oh my goodness. I have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. That means you're anointed to know things. Alright? You might not know what's gonna happen in Japan tomorrow morning. You might not know what's gonna happen to China's trade, you know, against the US. You might not know what's gonna happen to Forex. Right now, general Forex. But you could begin with your own life. Because he is in you. The Holy Ghost is inside you. For you. And one of the things he does in you is to guide you into every truth, is to teach you, is to lead you, is to instruct you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow, anybody saying thank God for the Holy Ghost? Yeah, thank God for the Holy Ghost. So we see here that you and I are anointed. I mean, this is exciting. Wow, yippee, wow. I want us to get to John chapter 4. Very classic conversation held in John 4. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And, I have a couple of conversations in the Bible that I like. And this, I must say, is one of my favorite. All right, one of my favorites in the entire scriptures. Now, so Jesus meets this woman at the well. All right, and then verse 7 of John 4. Then comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. All right, Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples are going to the city to buy meat. Verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask, drink of me? All right, which I'm a woman of Samaria. Bible explains that the Jews had no dealings with Samaria. Are you ready for verse 10? Did you say yes? Are you sure? Verse 10? All right. Okay. Are you ready? Verse 10. Jesus said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. Imagine when Jesus asked her for water, and she goes, how are you supposed to be asking for water? I mean, sometimes you also wish you could put some sound effects into some of these things. Yeah. Just put some sound and then she just looked at her like, you don't even know that your own water is fake. I have the real one. I mean, Jesus said, if only you know the gift of God and the person talking to you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And Jesus said to her, sir, you have nothing to draw with and this well is deep. From where would you get the living water? Are you greater than our father, Jacob, right, who gave us this well and drank thereof, right, with his children and his cattle? Are you ready again? Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. I mean, they're speaking water language here, but this is not water, guys. This is deep stuff, relevant stuff for you and I. Verse 14 again. Jesus said, anybody that drinks the water that I will give him will never thirst. It means this water produces satisfaction. This water quenches thirst. This water, I need people to acknowledge me. No. This water, it solves human needs. I mean, oh dear Lord. Whoever drinks the water that I give him would never thirst. But the water that I shall give him, please follow this, I'm reading King James, shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. So Jesus said, I'll give you water and the water will be in you a well of water springing up. All right. This is very descriptive. Jesus sits by a well talking to a woman. All right. So she comes to draw. All right. And then he says, give me drink. All right. She'll need to draw. And she said, you're not supposed to talk to me. And he goes, yeah. If only you know the gift of God, you'd have asked me and then I'll give you water. She goes, the well is deep. You don't have a fetcher. The well is deep. So they were physically beside the well. This matches up. Jesus says, the water I will give to you, right, will become inside of you a well. It will become in you a well. They were sitting by a well, so she would have got the picture. The water I will give you will become in you a well. But he messes things up for her. She is talking about the water that needs something to draw from. He says, it will be a well in you, springing up. So this water I will give you will become in you a well, but not a well that needs a fetcher, but a well that is a fountain. Oh, hallelujah. 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 You gotta see this. All right. So I'm going to run through some other, versions so that I can see how beautiful the statement Jesus made here is. So in John 4, 14, and then let's just run through and get this. Oh, let's get this baby rolling. Are you ready? All right. So NLT says, but those who drink the water I give will never thirst again. It will become, watch this, a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. The water I give will become a fresh bubbling spring. Bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Am I ahead of myself? Well, let me just do something and then get back. Let's go to John 7. And then I'll come back to this John chapter 4. So in John 7, Jesus is speaking in John 7, all right, from the 37th verse. John 7, 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, if any man thirst, all right, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. This is John 7. Jesus said, he that believes in me, as scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. 39, but this spake he, Jesus is speaking here, about the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit, all right, you know, for which they will be, which believe on Him will receive. For the Holy Ghost had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. All right, so Jesus in John 7 is talking about the Holy Spirit. Guys, Jesus in John 4 is talking about the Holy Ghost because water is a type of the Spirit. So He's talking about the dual workings of the Spirit in the life of a believer. He is in you and then He'll flow through you. He is in you, but what we're learning this month is the work of the Holy Ghost in, yeah. But this is beautiful. Oh, it means the Holy Ghost is in you as a spring of water, as a well of water, as a fountain of water. And then the Holy Ghost flows through you as a mighty river. Did you get that? Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's in me as a fountain of life. And He flows through me as a river of life. He's in me. He's in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. He's in me as a fountain of life. And then He flows through me, hallelujah, as a mighty river. Mighty river. So what we're learning now is Him in us. So back again to that John 4. Alright, so you would appreciate this now. Alright, John 4 and 14, NLT again. So that means the water now is the Holy Ghost. The water is the Holy Ghost. Ha, ha, ha. So whoever drinks, NLT, the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It will become a fresh bubbling. Oh, hallelujah. Spring within them, giving unto them eternal life. Giving unto them eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Amplified says, but whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. But the water that I will give him will become in him. They keep using him. Right? Some don't use, but they allude to it. Alright? It will become in him. A spring of water satisfying his thirst for God. So when a believer, alright, says, oh, I want more God, let me put it in proper context, you feel lost, you don't feel, no, all you need is come back into the Word and say, no, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. Don't let your feelings run you. Alright, this water, his Amplified says, will quench his thirst for God. The water well up, continually flowing, bubbling within him. It's within. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God's Word translation. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never become thirsty again. In fact, God's Word translation says, in fact, the water I will give them will become in them a spring that gushes up to eternal life. Whoa. A spring that gushes up to eternal life. Hallelujah. Listen, there are two forces on this earth, death and life. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So when you have water gushing up in you, giving you eternal life, it means it's supplying life to your nerves, life to your bones, life to your tissues, life to everything around you. Oh, they said, oh, there's ovarian cyst. Oh, maybe it's cancer. Oh, maybe there's something wrong with your blood. Oh, maybe there's something wrong in your back. Maybe there's something wrong with your brain. There's something wrong with your neck. There's something wrong with some part of your eye somewhere. No, you have the life of God. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I read Message and then we end on this one, all right, with the Passion Translation. So Message says, all right, that the water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. That's so beautiful. Gushing fountains of endless life. That means within every believer. Listen, once again, the well Jesus sat by, where him and the woman had this conversation, was a physical well that needed a fetcher. Something to draw with. The well Jesus puts in you by the Spirit doesn't need a fetcher. It's a fountain bubbling forth. Bubbling forth. Doesn't need a generator to start. Doesn't need any pump. Doesn't need, no, it's bubbling. Someone says, if this is what's happening, then why? No, that's because we've not had the knowledge of it. So we've not taken advantage of it. Now you know. All right. Now you know. Passion Translation. All right. For when you drink the water, I just picked it from half of it. For when you drink the water that I give you, it becomes, I like this one, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, springing up and flooding you with endless life. It becomes in you a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, springing up and flooding you with endless life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want you to notice something. Jesus is telling this woman, Whoever drinks this water will never be thirsty again, meaning this water gives you satisfaction. All right? And it will be in you a fountain. Do you know that what Jesus said here was actually from Psalm 36? All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because it's interesting. I mean, Jesus knew the word. He was the word, so he was making reference to the word. The 36th Psalm, all right, from verse 8. I want you to follow this. It says, they will be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house, and you will make them to drink of the water of your pleasure. Don't forget what Jesus said to the woman. If you ask me, I will give you water. So Psalm 36, verse 8, they will be abundantly satisfied. And don't forget the water Jesus said, he said he will quench, it will quench your thirst. They will be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house, and you will make them drink. Oh, not today. I wish you could just read this in a couple of Bible versions. Alright, do that on your own. You can, right? Alright, you will make them drink of the river of your pleasure. Verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. This is beautiful. So he says, you make them drink from the fountain. I mean, you make them drink from the river of life. For with you is the fountain. So from that fountain flows water. And then you drink. And then you drink. And then you drink. So Jesus now said, when you drink this water, it will be in you a fountain springing up. May I tell you something? I already proved to you from John 7 that the water in John 4 is the Holy Ghost. That means the Holy Ghost is the water Jesus will give you to drink. And then the Holy Ghost is the fountain that is bubbling. And that's why I like the Passion Translation that says that it will be a gushing fountain of the Holy Ghost. Alright? Springing up, alright? And just flooding you with endless life. The Passion Translation says that. Alright? It's a gushing fountain of the Holy Ghost springing up, alright, within you and just flooding you. Flooding you with endless life. So the water is the Holy Ghost. When you drink, when you receive Christ Jesus, hallelujah, it just becomes in you, hallelujah, a water, a fountain, poof, brimming, endless life. Guys, do you know that in two places in the book of Jeremiah, God introduced himself as a fountain, the fountain of life? There's so much to say about this. Oof! Jeremiah chapter 2 and the 13th verse of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 2:13, alright, says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn out cisterns and broken, alright, cisterns that cannot hold water. Alright, they forsook me, the fountain of life. Two things the people did wrong. They forsook me. They now had to hewn out cisterns like reservoirs. Alright, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Jeremiah 2 and 13. Now Jeremiah 17 and 13. Oh Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake you will be ashamed, and they, alright, that depart from you will be written in the earth because they are forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Two places now. God is referred to as a fountain. Oh, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord. So Jesus shows up to the woman at the well. Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, being God himself, was talking to the woman as a fountain of life himself. Himself was a fountain. So I was telling the woman, if you take from me, if you receive from me, Kai, inside you also will be a fountain. Inside you will be a fountain. That means every believer. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Who receives the gospel. Everyone who believes. Everyone who receives the gospel. In you dwells the Holy Ghost. In you begins to brim up by the Spirit a fountain of living water. What will this fountain do? Oh, thank you, Lord. It will bring you healing. It will bring you strength. It will bring you clarity. That's why he said you will be satisfied. It means everything you need will flow from this fountain. No wonder everything we need is from the Holy Ghost. Everything we need is of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is in me as a gushing fountain by his Spirit. Oh, by his Spirit, the Holy Ghost in me, a gushing fountain of endless life. A gushing fountain of endless life. My strength is always renewed. No wonder I could say the Lord is the strength of my life. He's always renewing energy in me. Gushing energy, gushing energy, gushing energy. Is there sickness somewhere lurking around you? One symptom somewhere? One weakness somewhere? One infirmity of the flesh somewhere? In you is the gushing fountain. In you. Oh, the Holy Ghost is referred to in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2 as the Spirit of life. Anywhere he is, death cannot work. So is there anything that looks like death around you? Oh no, say to yourself, I got the gushing fountain. Life is in me, not death. Life is in me, not death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you get this? Because it's important to know that the Holy Ghost is in you. The Holy Ghost, hallelujah, is in you as a gushing fountain, is in you as a mighty well springing up, and then he'll flow through you as a river. Let me end on this thought. Oh, oh, oh. Wow, wow, wow. Let me end on this thought. Listen, the well is not of the same purpose as the river. They both, you know, are carriers of water. The river is water flowing. The well is water, right? Somewhere not too far from you. The well is primarily for domestic purposes. All right? The well is for washing, drinking, all right, for cooking, you know, water for bathing. It's a well. It's just usually like not too far from the house. All right, even if it's a well for a community, it's not the river that could travel from community to community, right, city to city. No, all right, it's the well. It's just a well. It's for domestic purposes. So when you talk about the Holy Ghost being in you, picture him ministering to every personal need that you have and the need of your household. And oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. He is in me as that well. All right, so I want to drink, I go to the well. I need to cook, I go to the well. I need with the things I need, I draw from the Holy Ghost. But I like again that this needs no draw. This needs no fetcher. Rather, it's a gushing fountain. Gushing fountain. Gushing fountain. So wisdom is gushing in you. Strength is gushing in you. Clarity is gushing in you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father, for the work of your Spirit in us. In us, in us, in us. Is the Spirit in you. Ha ha. That means life is in you. That means there's a gushing fountain of health in you. Know that Romans 8:11 says, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he will give life to your mortal body. How? He's the fountain of life. God is the fountain of life. That means the Holy Ghost is the fountain of life. That means in you is the fountain of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to go through your week having this in mind. Please just walk through the week. Remind yourself that in me is a fountain of life. In me is a gushing fountain of endless life. I'm flooded with eternal life. I'm flooded, not with death. I'm flooded with eternal life. I'm flooded. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm flooded. I'm flooded. I'm flooded with eternal life. I'm flooded. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm flooded with eternal life. I'm flooded. I'm brimming up with it. I'm brimming up with it. Anything that looks like death is destroyed. Anything that is a form of death is destroyed. Any level of impotency, any level of weakness, any level of disease, any level of virus in you, it dies. It dies. Why? Because life is on your inside. The very Spirit of life himself lives inside of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Awesome. 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 Please digest this. All right. Please, if you need the audio, you could just download it from our Spreaker platform. You could just, if you're watching, on Instagram, just go to the link in bio. You see, Morning Faith Boost. All right. But just click now to my proper profile right there. Right on Spreaker, and then you see the different things we do. You find the influence of the Spirit. So just download today's episode. All right, this is the Holy Ghost in the work. I mean, the work of the Holy Ghost in a believer. So part one, I guess. So hey, so just download. All right, if you're watching Facebook or YouTube, just find us on Spreaker. You get the audio. All right, just download. Please download. Follow on all platforms. Turn on notifications. This month will be loaded. Alright, trust the Holy Ghost. It will be loaded. We'll learn so much of his power within us. You would see that your days of weakness are over. Your days of defeat are over. It will be from victory to victory to victory. Alright, thank you for always tuning in. I'll see you next Sunday. Bye.